This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. My camera's very high. Let's put it down a bit. There we go. My name is Az, and I'm joined by Jenny for the weekly team selection. How are you, Jenny?
I'm very well, mate. Champions League weeks are always fun, and had a good FPL weekend too. Oh, I've realised, off the back of a good FPL weekend, my mood was good all weekend, and I was like, this is really bad. Like, my mood is completely, like, good for one reason only. Like, yeah, it was a nice weekend, did some nice things with the wife. But it was like, because I've had a good FPL week, my mood's good. I was like, that's not healthy for 2-3 days.
I think we're all there as well. I mean, to be fair, your mood must be pretty good most weeks. You're up to 45K now. You're absolutely flying this season.
I feel like I either have quite big greens or big reds. I don't, and I think we've spoken about this before. Like, I had a really big red a few weeks ago when I didn't captain Salah. That hurt when he went for his 24-pointer, but other than that, I've had quite big greens, and yeah, I'm in a good place. I think I went from around 80k to 45k, so things are looking good, and I got 2 free transfers, and I've got loads of players that people are trying to get onto, so I feel like I'm kind of ahead at the moment, which is good.
Yeah, well, I've called this episode Changes Incoming because you've sent me a few ideas of things you're going to do. Quite bold strategy you've got going forward, especially over the festive schedule. So we're going to talk about that. But yeah, people are tuning in for these videos. They're not hoping to see us both doing this well. I think most people are hoping that we're going to be, you know, slumming it down the 500-600k mark. So yeah, we're proving the doubt was wrong, aren't we, Jenny?
The audience figures for this video last season, when I was around this time, I think I was at about 3 million around game week 12, 13. And the numbers were peaking because everyone just wanted to see me pulling my hair out every week. So yeah, if I continue doing well, I hope you guys continue to keep watching.
I mean, by far the most views we've ever had on Black Box was when we did the Match of the Day stream.
Yeah.
And everyone knew that Mark was going to suffer. So we had like 2,500 people watching. And I saw that number.
I
was like, oh, one of us is in trouble. And he was. We haven't seen him since. hopefully Mark will be back next week. Right, let's get into it then. Let's have a look at your game week 12. 84 points. Very strong week for you. Ramsdale in goal with 1. Reece James, talk about him, with 12. Trent with 15. Cancelo with 12. Another massive week for the defenders, which we just seem to have every week. Salah with 16. Foden with 1. Jota with 8. And Havertz, your best mate, with 3. And then Antonio with 2. And then some striker points. Jimenez with 8. And Tony with 6. Your bench, not much to report. Foster with an assist somehow in the dying minutes with 5. Livramento with 1. Christensen didn't play. And Brownhill with 0. Yeah, good week. 84 points and most of them coming from your defence again.
Yeah. I was thinking about this earlier. 5 best players in the game at the moment. If we were saying yesterday before Chilwell's injury, it's Chilwell, my back 3 there, and Salah. Mm. Like, 5 of the best players in FPL at the moment, 4 of them are defenders. But let's not call them defenders. I like to call them wide forwards because they really are often. Reece James and Chilwell especially, Cancelo kind of, and Trent is as attacking as ever. So it's been an absolute delight. And I want to go bigger at the back. I'm already fairly big at the back, but my plan is to that defender number 4 spot, which at the moment is Christensen, who is been on my bench for forever. I want to convert him into another attacking wing back. So I'll actually have a back 4 very good wing backs, and then Livramento defender 5, who's also a decent option off the bench. So yeah, a good week. I was delighted to see Trent and Reece and Cancelo perform, and then Salah captaincy turned out well. Jota and Salah's combination play. There were so many times where Jota put Salah in or Salah put Jota in and a goal didn't come of it. But then you see Jota with 8 points. You've still got to be happy with that.
What a gift. Yeah. I mean, he took it well. Yeah, I'm not going to take that away from him. But I saw that and I was just like, for God's sake.
The no-look pass from Tavares left back. But yeah, I mean, Jota is just someone as an owner. You will always be frustrated because you will always look at a game and say he could have got more. And we do that a lot as FPL managers, but with Jota, we do that especially. It's a bit like Mbeumo or even at times this season, the likes of Foden or Tony. But Jota's one of those that gets so many shots. He isn't the most clinical and you just go, it could have been a 20-pointer. But you're still happy with the 8s. You can't moan.
But then you see the way he took that goal. And he took the goal like a clinical striker. Yeah. Like he's such a funny player to watch and to own. I've been there before with him. Yeah. I really do like him as an option. I think him and Chilwell are the two that I kind of go into each week kind of fearing not owning, and they keep delivering. You know, hopefully Chilwell isn't injured. Well, I think he probably is, but hopefully it isn't a long-term injury given how well he's playing. But it does make my life easier as someone who doesn't own him. Just kind of the horrible way of looking at it, but sometimes you've got to take the emotion out. But yeah, what did you make of the injury? Do you think we're going to see a spell on the sidelines for him?
Yeah, I do. I think I'll be very surprised if he doesn't miss more than 6, 7, 8 Premier League games, especially because they're coming thick and fast now. Like, I think he'll be out for, I don't know, I don't want to speculate, but it's going to be weeks, maybe months, for sure. He wasn't comfortable. I had a plan to get Chilwell in next week. I've got a plan, and seeing that injury actually made me not have to pull the trigger on my transfers last night. Kane is someone that we're going to talk about because I know I'm bringing him in, but I was worried about a Kane price rise last night. And to do what I want to do in 3-4 transfers time to get Chilwell, I had to beat that price rise, which meant I was going to pull the trigger on Kane last night. I saw the Chilwell injury and went, I can actually afford him to go up. And he didn't go up. He's still not gone up. He might go tonight. But I just saw that injury and went, let's wait. Like, not just because of getting Chilwell in later, but also just to show it could be foolish bringing in players before they're about to, when there's still fixtures to be played. Like, Foden could get injured tonight. Jota could get injured tonight. Kane could play Thursday night. He's travelled, which I didn't think he would, or he's travelling. So yeah, not worth the 0.1.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, I mean, you mentioned James, Trent, Cancelo and Chilwell being the kind of the standout four. So people have fought the back, probably got those four very decent. But I mean, we're seeing other defensive options emerging, right? We've got Reguilon now, 5.1, maybe Royale, 4.9. We've got Rudiger as well, scored a goal. I mean, Rudiger is on 67 points. He's kind of 8 points behind Reece James. He's only 12 points behind Cancelo. He's on for a 200-plus point season if he kind of carries on the way he is. And obviously, probably nailed in that team. You'd imagine maybe a bit of rotation, but fairly nailed. So, you know, even though, and Alonso as well is someone that I think people are going to start moving back to because he plays every match pretty much that Chilwell doesn't start under Tuchel. So out of those three, which one would you go for if you're a Chilwell owner with playing four at the back?
Yeah, my plan now is to convert Christensen into Alonso for the reason you said. Yeah. Like, when Chilwell's out, it will be Alonso. I know Aspi came on last night. Tuchel has said why. Azpilicueta was due to come on for Reece James when Chilwell got injured. So he was already stripped off, ready to go. And he just went, oh, go on then. I can sit you at left wing back. We will not see Aspi starting left wing back very much in the Premier League when Alonso is fit. Also, we can't forget Alonso has actually been out for a few weeks. So he might not be ready to play three times a week for this busy schedule. He might play two of the first three and then become absolutely nailed. But regardless, he 5.6 million. We know he shoots on sight. I do think Rudiger's still a good option because you look at that Chelsea back line in that middle three positions. Right centre-back, we've seen lots of rotation. Chalobah, Christensen, Aspi, three options. The middle of the centre-back, two options, Christensen or Thiago Silva. The left centre-back spot is pretty much Rudiger has that spot absolutely nailed. He is the go-to. We've seen, I think, Saar play there once. But Rudiger's absolutely nailed for sure. But I just love the upside of these attacking defenders in the likes of Alonso. So it'll be Alonso for me if Chilwell is confirmed out for a fair few weeks. I won't be able to bring in Alonso this week, but I will for Watford in the next middle of the next week.
Yep, very nice. So moving out of defence, your midfield, I mean, you had points from Salah and Jota, obviously. Disappointment from Foden for a lot of people. Quite disappointing recently anyway, after kind of exploding on the scenes. We were both convinced he was going to, you know, absolutely smash it, but hasn't really. It's been Bernardo that's actually been delivering the points as a bit of a differential pick for anyone that picked him. Havertz as well. I mean, I know you love him. I know you say how great he is and how much he's, you know, making Chelsea fantastic, but it's not really done it how you would have wanted, right? As number nine, what, one goal and one assist in four matches?
Yeah, not done it in FPL for sure. As a Chelsea fan, he's absolutely done it. Like, we like that, but as in FPL, he's not. But the plan with Havertz, right, he's an 8 million-ish midfielder. I've owned him for 4 weeks and he's got two attacking returns. You take that from your 8 million mids, Foden's blank 3 and 3, right? Heung-min Son, way more expensive. He's blanked the last, three or four games. So you take that. My plan was Havertz as soon as he becomes a rotation risk because Werner and Lukaku are fit, you sell him. So I am selling him this week. Oh, and he also happens to be injured, so that helps. But no, he's gone and he was always going to be gone for this game week. So two returns from four, I take it. Wasn't brilliant, but it wasn't a disaster either. And as I say, he's outperforming Foden and Son.
Yeah, and what about Foden? I'm guessing you're sticking with him, but any concerns with him?
It's weird that when one of your players isn't performing well and gets 1 point, you kind of still smile to yourself. I like Foden's blanks recently, and I don't know why. I know I shouldn't, but I know that everyone on Foden that's getting so frustrated with three blanks in a row, they didn't get the 20 points in two game weeks or whatever it was before that I got. So I'm almost feel like I feel really smug with Foden because I'm like, he's allowed to blank for me because he did really well for me in those 2 weeks. And I know everyone jumped on him after those 2 weeks and is getting the blanks now. So I'm like, yeah, whatever, that's fine. I hope people sell him. I want his ownership to drop because he's brilliant. And with Pep, all I like to try and do is predict who's nailed. And then there's never really a bad option if they're an attacking player in that Pep team. If they're nailed for minutes, they become a good FPL option around this price point. And Foden is one of those players that is nailed for minutes at the moment. So he's therefore going to be someone that delivers points over the Christmas period.
Well, I agree to some extent. I think the counter argument is you had Grealish nailed at the start of the season. And
yeah, he didn't get any points.
And he wasn't delivering. And I guess that's the kind of concern with Foden, as if he does play wide. It does seem like that left winger spot now, if it's not Sterling and it goes to one of these other guys, they seem to be so far left that it's hard for them to get really, you know, get into the most dangerous positions. And we saw that a bit from Foden. I think Foden's been a bit unlucky last couple of weeks, not to come away with anything. But I think we want Grealish. We want to see Grealish back in the side to put Foden back at that, you know,
number nine spot.
Number nine and start getting back to where he was. Sterling, though, I mean, how long is Sterling going to stay out of the team for? Is he just completely finished now at City? I mean, the pass from Cancelo was unbelievable. Good finish from Sterling. Great run as well. I do wonder if we're going to see him coming in, and I wonder what happens to Foden if he comes back into the side.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Sterling, when he is playing, isn't playing in the left where we know him. He's played on the right and he's played as the nine, but he's not being considered in what he would say is his best position. I think there's speculation with him linked to moves away in January. I don't know if Pep necessarily sells him unless everyone else is fit and firing. Like, he'd go, we're short in numbers, like Torres still out injured, still no out and out nine being bought. Probably not going to let Sterling go unless someone's coming in. But he's definitely not flavour of the month. And we know Pep does this. So, yeah, I can't see Foden starting many games over the festive period when everyone is fit. Mm. But to say, I've seen comments in the chat, Foden's not nailed, it's Pep. Just counting. He started in game week 6. He started every week since. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 7 starts out of 7 in the Premier League. If that's not nailed, what is? Like, we can't... Yeah, sure, he will miss a game over the Christmas period. And everyone will suffer rotation at some point. But if 7 out of 7 doesn't class as nailed for you, really?
We're seeing as nailed as nailed's going to get. We're seeing a lot less rotation from Pep recently. It looks like he really does have a kind of a settled side. We're seeing as much rotation from him as we'd see from any other Premier League side. He's just got this kind of reputation that, you know, kind of precedes. I think the right-hand spot is still a bit, you know, dodgy with Jesus kind of makeshift there and Mahrez knocking around. But
yeah.
I think when Grealish is fit and... you know, Foden plays up top, I think that is pretty much the strongest side. And then Rodri, Gundogan and De Bruyne. I mean, it kind of picks itself at the moment. And I think in previous seasons, we've, you know, not really seen that. Bernardo does really interest me. I mean, it's 7.2.
Yeah.
11% ownership, 2 goals in his last 2, started pretty much every game. Still flying massively under the radar. I really like him.
Yeah, like, it's one of those moves. If you own Foden, you maybe don't make that sideways move unless you need that 0.7, 0.8, whatever it is. But if you're on a wild card now, like, I hold my hands up. If I was on a wild card, I would be very tempted by Bernardo instead of Foden, for sure. Is it worth a transfer? But if you're not on either of them, then yeah, I mean, Bernardo, another one that is nailed. And he's getting in, ghosting into these number 9 spots so, so well, especially without KDB in the team. But even before that, sometimes we're so blinded by FPL. But when we look at the bigger picture, who has been Man City's best player this season? It's been Bernardo.
Yeah.
Cancelo, probably their second best player this season. But for FPL, we never think of Bernardo Silva, but City is so reliant on him. He's amazing. He's so good.
And he's one of these players who's never done it FPL-wise. Like, he's always been assist of the sister, playing well, man of the match, but never. But it does look like this interchange he's got with Foden, Gundogan and all that kind of moving around is putting him more in the dangerous spots. Yeah, I really like him. Yeah. Before we move on to a team for next week, I just want to talk quickly about strikers, because we've complained about strikers every week for every week we've been doing these. But you got 2 goals from 3 strikers, Jimenez coming in and Ivan Toney. I mean, Jimenez has been ticking over with points. That's kind of what he does. He's not the most explosive, spectacular option, but he'll get you 6s, 7s and 8s kind of fairly regularly. Yeah. And Toney finally scored. So you're happy with those 2 going forward?
Yeah, I mean, Jimenez, just looking from game week 6, where he got 8 points, game week 7, he got 10 points. From then, he's only had 2 blanks, a 1 and a 2. He's had an 8, a 10, a 5, a 9, and another 8. Like, and I brought him in game week 7 for that 10-pointer, I think. So he's delivered really, really nicely. Must admit, I didn't expect it from Jimenez. Like, I put him in, it was purely a fixtures-led pick. The form wasn't there. I'd seen him score that 1 goal and thought, against Southampton, thought, now I can bring him in because he hadn't scored for ages and we know what strikers can do. But to get, you know, a 10-pointer, a 9-pointer and an 8-pointer out of him and a 5, I'm delighted by that. I am going to be selling him because the fixtures really turn in game week 15. But his next 2, Norwich and Burnley. Yeah, nice. I could see another 8-9-pointer in those 2. And then it's Liverpool, City, Brighton, Chelsea. Like, yeah. I'll be selling him for that run. And with Jimenez and with Wolves, I have always picked him based purely on fixtures. Like, that's always been part of my thinking with Wolves. I don't like Wolves against... I never have liked Jimenez and Wolves against the big, big teams. But I like them against teams that they can out football, and against West Ham even. They outballed them. They were brilliant. They dominated that game, and Jimenez deserved his points. So yeah, he's delivered nicely. And Toney, lovely to get some points eventually for Toney. Finally. I think I'll probably keep Toney over the festive period just because he's cheap. And we're looking for players that will play 90 every week. Toney is a championship player, player that's played lots in the championship. And in that league, you play a lot of Wednesday, Saturday games. And he has shown, history tells us, he can play Wednesday, Saturday quite comfortably. There's not many forwards you can absolutely say he's nailed every game over the festive period for 90. Toney is. Antonio, for example, isn't, you know?
I'm keeping Toney. I mean, he's been disappointing, but you're right that the you know there's no threat of rotation there. His numbers aren't great, but I still feel like there's something big coming from him. He's gonna be one of those players I reckon we hold until sort of game week 30 and we're like, oh yeah, he's like he's got 100 points and we probably should move on. But there's no one else around his price you know point that I really like the look of. I think at 6.5 he's still probably the best option.
Yeah,
you know, in the game. So,
just a word of warning for those that are looking at some cheaper options. Dennis at 5.2 is getting loads of love. Don't forget, Dennis is away in the African Cup of Nations. If you are looking for a long term pick, don't go Dennis because he won't be around in Jan. I actually like, and people will laugh at this, but I'm going to mention it now. Just when he does bang, my plan was to sell Tony next week for a 5.8 midfielder to get Chilwell in. I don't need this plan anymore because I don't need the money for Chilwell because I'll go Alonso and therefore I can keep Tony. But the plan was, and you'll laugh at this as, I've not posted it on Twitter or anything. This is exclusive right now, so you can all mock me in the chat. For 2 weeks, Joel Linton. He's 5.8. He played really well for Eddie Howe at the weekend and he's about to. So I was going to sell next week Tony for Joel Linton. And just for two games. So Joel Linton plays Norwich and Burnley. I genuinely think he delivers. He looked like a different player under Eddie Howe. I'll leave it there.
I'm speechless.
I'm not going there because I don't need Chilwell now and I don't need the money. It was more I needed someone at 5.8 or below and I had the exact funds to get Christensen to Chilwell next week. And Joel Linton, I think, is the best of the 5.8 and below for those two games. But Jenny,
if we started doing these and you've got Joel Linton in your team,
I know.
I'm sacking you and getting someone new in.
Oh, I love it. Delia said in the chat, Janny's spending too much time with Ed. So true.
Really true, isn't it? Wow. Jolene, I mean, let's move swiftly on from that. let's take a look at your team for next week. I think you're looking pretty good. 2-3 transfers as well. Got Ramsdale in goal, home to Newcastle. Reece James, Trent and Cancelo, the Fab 3. Salah captain, so boring, against Southampton at home. Foden, Jota, Havertz. And then Antonio Jimenez and Tony. So pretty template, pretty much very similar to a lot of the teams that I'm seeing, but delivering every week, you're climbing up the ranks. So what are you doing with your two moves?
Yeah, so I've got an option here. I can have a good bench over the Christmas period, or I can squeeze in one more premium and have a weak bench for the Christmas period where there'll be rotation, sure, but I've just got to be conscious that every pick I make has got to be, if ideally, 90-minute nailed assets. And I'm bringing in two players that I think will be nailed in 90 minutes. And one is obvious, and it's Antonio for Kane. I want Kane. That second half against Leeds was enough. If the first half performance at half time, Leeds versus Spurs, I was nowhere. I was always set on Kane. I watched that first half and went, I actually might not do this because they look so bad. And then the second half, I saw enough. And I do think I've seen enough in that second half to go, there's goals in Kane with the fixtures he's going to have, Burnley, Norwich, Brentford. But to get Kane... Bless you.
Thank you.
To get Kane, Antonio to Kane, Havertz needs to go down to a 5.2 million midfielder or below. Now, at 5.3, you can get Callum Hudson-Odoi, which would have been amazing, but I'm 0.1 short of that. There is no one in the 5.2 or below that's any good. So why spend 5.1 or 5 when you can go and spend 4.4 on Billy the Goat Gilmore? So Gilmore's coming in. He's on set pieces now. He played as a number 8. He got an assist from the corner. I don't think there's going to be bags of points there, but I don't want to waste money on a 5.1 when I can have Billy Gilmore at 4.4. And it gives me enough money in the bench to then go Christensen to Alonso next week and keep Tony in my team, not have to buy Joel Linton. It does mean I'm going to have such a weak bench, though, as my bench over the Christmas period is going to be Brownhill, Gilmore and Livramento. But I take those two pointers when they happen and I have Kane. So who cares?
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
That's what I'm going with.
That is very interesting. I mean, you know, I'm seeing a lot of strong squads, you know, around with players on the bench. And I mean, that is ultra, ultra, you know, ultra stingy. Stingy?
Yeah.
Is that the one? Stingy on your bench. So what so this week you'd be playing Christensen then?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be playing Christensen. Hope he starts. He hasn't, Chalobah started two of the last two. So hopefully Christensen comes in. Thiago Silva's also started 2-2. So I do think Christensen's got a very good chance of starting. And if he doesn't, Then I play Gilmore. Gilmore will be my sub one because Livramento is Liverpool. But the fear is you can look at my bench and go, these guys will need to be used. I think sub three will never be, won't be used over the Christmas period. I don't think there was enough rotation. You could say Jota, Foden, they'll be rested once. Sure, they will be. But when they do, if I get a Gilmore two-pointer or a Brownhill two-pointer, it's not the end of the world. How many times have I had an Antonio two-pointer or a Tony two-pointer recently? You know, so what difference is it to a Brownhill two-pointer? I'm going with it. I've been so annoyed with my bench points of late, as I've been getting some big scores on my bench, and my squad's too good. And I know I'm trimming it at the wrong time, but it's time to trim it. To get Kane, it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, Kane gives you someone who's definitely going to play. So, you know, we'll probably see a bit of rotation for Antonio, whereas Kane is going to get 90. Whether we can actually get points is another question, probably for another time. I mean, you've got Foden, Jota, James, who I guess are risky. Yeah. Jimenez as well, potentially might miss a bit if, you know, given the big injury he had. Is he going to start every game? We've seen him manage a little bit more this season than we've seen previously.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bold. It's I can't speak today. It's bold. It's bold.
You know, well, bold.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing people, you know, strengthening their benches, and you're going kind of the opposite way.
Yeah.
But I mean, you'll have Livramento first sub, who's a good first sub in any game, I think. And then
yeah,
be interesting to know what happens with Gilmore. Whether he's obviously going to be used by. I mean, the first thing Smith does is come in and plays Gilmore and Cantwell, and they win. And it's like, well, yeah, they are two best players. Like why wouldn't you play those two? It's funny how managers can get this, you know, you can look at it and see what they're doing, and there must be reasons for it. But for the outside, it's so difficult to understand. A new manager comes in, does exactly what everyone thinks, and then it works. It's very odd.
And Gilmore's amazing. Gilmore's a really good footballer, and Dean Smith knows that. And he's playing as a number eight on set pieces. And he's the comments post-match I needed that confirmation of what he was saying about Gilmore, how he's going to build a team around him. Gilmore's set to start when fit. So he's the best of the 5 point. I'm annoyed I'm 0.1 short of Callum Hudson-Odoi because I would prefer that. And I know he's not nailed Hudson-Odoi, but for a bench option, he's a better option. But yeah, it'll be Gilmore, I think. And then Jimenez will be sold in a couple of weeks when he hits the bad fixtures. For again, it'll be someone that I know is nailed. And whilst Foden, Jota and Reece James might suffer one or two games rotation, I think they only missed one game over that festive period. Everyone else, I think, is pretty nailed for most. I don't think Trent and Salah are going to miss games, or Cancelo even. Like, these guys can play every 3 days.
So Jota's injured. So he's flagged at the moment, took a blow to his knee. And I think I read that he's out of the Champions League game tonight, but I think Liverpool are going to be, you know, they're not going to go full strength anyway. It was last season, wasn't it, when he played Jota and then he got injured. I think they'd already qualified or something. Yeah. And they played him and he was out for ages.
I thought he trained yesterday.
I've read that he's out of the game today.
I'm hoping Klopp will leave a lot of the big names out. Like the group's won pretty much. They've qualified. And knowing the league is up for grabs, I think we might see a couple of big names rested tonight.
Yeah, I would almost certainly think he's got to, really, especially with the fixtures coming up. But would you still go with that plan? If Jota's out of the weekend, I'm not saying he is, but if he was out of the weekend, would you still go with that plan, knowing that you had to play, you probably have to play Gilmore, right?
Yeah. If Jota was out for the weekend and we thought it was just for one game, fit by the middle of next week, I would stick with the plan. If I thought Jota was going to miss more than one game, my plan would be up in smoke. Like, I'm not, whilst I'm very happy to go with this thin bench, I'm not foolish enough to completely shoot myself in the foot with it. Like, it's a good plan if my guys are fit. Again, if Foden was out, I wouldn't stick with a plan. And I read yesterday again, Foden trained and is fine. So again, good news there. But yeah, the plan would be up in smoke. I am reliant on these guys being fit. And I think they will be. It's only Jota I need to not miss more than one game. And I think he probably even plays this weekend.
Yeah. No, I don't mind it, to be fair. I've been getting loads of bench points. It is frustrating. I'm sort of relatively happy to have a strong squad, but you know, I'm going to have Mbeumo probably on my bench most weeks, and I'm probably going to look to downgrade him and shift some funds around and move things around. So I'll probably be joining you on a weaker bench and not a huge squad. Kane's an interesting one.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's the beeline in for Kane. Like, how else can I get Kane in my team? Like, there is, I can't see another good option. I don't want to sell Foden or Jota, so Havertz makes way, and I don't want to sell Jimenez and Tony are cheaper than Antonio, so it needs to be my most premium. And yeah, it just, I really want Kane. And
you, if really, you really want someone,
if you really want someone in FPL, you rip up your team to make it happen.
Because I mean, I've got Ronaldo, right? I went Ronaldo over Kane, and I don't really know what to do this week because I'm not happy with Ronaldo really for the next couple. I think Kane probably is a better option. His expected goal involvement was pretty good. I think it was maybe 22 minutes or something. In the last game, he definitely looked more up for it, and you know, positioning wise was fine. But then I watched him like get the ball in the middle and try and dribble past three players, and he looked like my dad playing football, who like tore his Achilles. Like, he just kind of stumbled forward and lost the ball, and it was like, what is going on with you? Like, I just don't understand it. But
he went down as well, didn't he? And I was like, oh my god, those glass ankles, are they going to survive those tackles on the centre circle? Like, what? That's not your role in the team.
No, I think your analysis is complete. The first half, if it had been the whole match, had been like the first half, there's absolutely no way of being considering Kane. They couldn't get the ball to him. They were awful. Leeds were so impressive, but the second half made me think, okay, if you play like this going forward, Kane is going to get chances, and he will definitely get some goals over the next three with the fixtures they've got. So I'm on your side with that.
I should also add, I'm playing for Mini League Success, and Toby, my biggest rival, he has Son, so he pretty much can't get Kane. So part of the Kane appeal for me is Toby ain't going to have him.
Yeah.
Like, I know I shouldn't be here talking about Mini League Success. Like, we all say it overall ranks everything, but to me, Mini League Success is as big as overall rank. Like, beating Toby is what it's all about. And I'm clear of him at the moment. And knowing he's got Son, he just can't get to Kane. I can.
So you think Kane's a better option than Son?
Yeah, 100%. And watching the game against Leeds, I mean, we had so much discussion about it last week, didn't we? And I really love being on the FPL show with you, Az. We don't do enough shows together. Like, I think that's only the second or third time we've done one together. And I came off that show going, that was one of the best shows I've done this season.
Like, we just didn't agree on anything, did we?
Yeah, but that's so much better. Who wants two pundits that agree with everything? Who agree with each other? So I really enjoyed that. So I do think Kane's a better option than Son.
Interesting.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I was pretty set on Son being the better option, but I the second half, I did quite enjoy it. Aside from him falling over and looking a bit slow, position wise and the way the team's set up, and you're right, with the wing backs putting the balls in and that kind of thing, it was a lot more encouraging. Cool. I think that's it for us. We've got 600 people watching. We've only got some amount of likes. How many was it? 61 likes. So if everyone could like the stream, that'd be great. Make sure you subscribed to the channel as well. This will be going out on podcast as well. So if you're listening on podcast, thanks for joining us. These go out every week. But Gianni, for now, it is goodbye. And I will speak to you. When will I speak to you?
It's games on Tuesday night, isn't there?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll speak Tuesday day or Monday night.
I don't know. Well, you're doing the watch along, aren't you, on Wednesday.
Oh, we've got so many good games. I'm so excited for that. All on Amazon.
Yeah, that'd be a really good one. I think we could probably squeeze in a team selection on Wednesday as normal.
Yeah.
See how the game week's going so far,
and then I can plug the fact that I'm doing the watch along in a few hours.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, let's do that. We'll be back same time next week. So thanks everyone for joining us, and we will see you soon.